Lord, we just ask that you take us, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, we just want to be in your presence. God, I'm asking you to open up your word this morning. Just open it up so clearly, so powerfully. You've shown me a vision of you in heaven, and it's just, I can't even explain. I've just seen another glimpse of who you are and how awesome you are. And I want the people to see that glimpse with me this morning. So please bring us into a place that we can glance into heaven and see you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about giving it all up. Not all our money. Yeah, give that up too. And it doesn't mean you have to take out your bank book and give all your money to the church. But it means you give all your money to God. Whatever he wants to do with it. You know, because money is of this life. Wealth and possessions are of this life. And I know you think I'm living in a really nice house and got a nice car and all that junk and, you know, we've got a good income. That's true. But we were tested greatly before he gave it to us that we'd be willing to give it all back. Whatever he wants to do with it, it's his. I wouldn't care if he took it all. I always tell him, take everything but the bed. I don't want to sleep on the floor. I'd like to. We were talking the other day, Harvey and I were saying, man, we'd just love to walk away from everything material and just go out and live off the land and serve God. And I don't know, we'll just go live down at Mel Trotter, you know. I wonder if they'd let me bring my bed. Yes, I do have that one little attachment. But honestly, I hope I'm not attached to anything else. You know, okay, maybe the makeup bag. But these things are nothing. They're nothing. I mean, this world is nothing. We want to live in the realm of eternity now. You know, and those are words. But what is the realm of eternity? It's love. It's his love. He is love. A love beyond anything that we can describe. You know, Harvey also was having some kind of encounter with God, and he was saying, How do I describe? Words won't describe, you know, what I just experienced with God. Words can't ever describe God. You have to experience him. You have to experience the reality of who he is and how awesome he is and how loving and gentle and wonderful. I just thank him that he has protected all that he is and not let any kind of hater or bitterness or, you know, so much has been done against God, and people who have rejected him, hated him, cursed his name, lying on their deathbed, he'll tell a Christian, go in there and comfort them. I know they can't come be with me for all eternity, but I'll never stop loving them. Go sit by their bed, rub their leg that's in pain, pet them, love them. Love them until they draw that last breath, because I just want to give them all the love I can before they are separated from me. His love never ends. He's so awesome. So we're going to look at Matthew 25 this morning. I'm going to read a love story. And starting in verse 6. Uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. And I so well prepared today. Oh, I'm trying to look for the lady with the alabaster box. Anybody know what chapter that really is? Chapter 26. Okay, just jump over one more. Start in 6. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. The alabaster box was a perfume container, and what was in it was an extremely expensive oil of perfume. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for memorial of her. I have read that many, many times. But for some reason, I knew God was drawing me back to look at that. You know, there's things that he repeats in Scripture, and that means you better pay real close attention because he repeated it. But he said what this nameless woman did was worthy of being written in the Holy Scriptures and anywhere that the gospel was ever preached as a memorial, a remembrance to what she did. This would also be shared. That means it was really big. It made a big impression on God, a huge impression. I got really excited about that, and then I started thinking about it. This woman came knowing Jesus was about to die. She came to anoint him for his burial. You know, there sits his 12 disciples who were with him all the time, and we can go back and read the many times Christ tried to tell him, today I'm going to be crucified. Today they're going to kill me, and then in 3 days I'll rise up. And now he's even telling him again, she's doing this under my burial. I'm going to die. They don't hear him. It didn't fit their theology. They didn't think if he's God that he should die. They didn't get it. But one woman was in prayer who was in tune with God in that moment. So he spoke to her. She was in the presence of God. Just one woman on this whole earth who was with God in the moment that Jesus needed to be loved. Jesus needs love. His heart breaks to be loved. He's like a love munchkin begging for more love. He craves love. He feeds on love. Love feeds on love. And the more you love him, the more he loves you. And the more you pour love into him, the bigger love gets. Love is powerful and everlasting and living, and it never dies, and every act of love will live forever. And he wanted us to catch that thought by the act of this one woman. One woman in one moment who heard what God wanted. He wanted someone to come and love on him and anoint him. Anoint him. Pour out the oil, the fragrance of love. That was the only thing strong enough to prepare him to go through what he was about to go through. Jesus needed to be loved. So she came. She had no reserve. I don't know if it was her idea or the Holy Spirit said, I want you to get the best, most expensive perfume in this house. Maybe he told her that. And I bet she ran for that bottle and said, this is the best. This is my everything. This is all I have. And you've got it. God, what do you want me to do with it? He said, go pour it out in Jesus. And she was like, oh, I would love to do that. She was willing and ready to give him anything that he needed or wanted in that minute. She poured this oil on the head of Jesus. Jenna, can I play with you? Would you come over here and sit for a minute? I know you might have to go to the bathroom. You're closer to it right here. Pregnant. Hair is a conduit. It's like these little strands are like electricity. Hair, it can flow. Love can flow. When my girls were children, she can say, yeah. They come and they lay their little head on my lap, and I would just play with their hair and run my fingers through their hair. And I loved them so much. And they would feel my love through this. Can you imagine? She was getting to touch the hair of God. She was like pouring oil and going, Jesus, oh Jesus, I love you so much. She's pouring love on him. And I think she was just stroking these strands of hair and loving on him through his hair. It really works, doesn't it? It feels so good, doesn't it? I know, I used to fall asleep. I say when Harvey does this to me, I melt like an ice cream cone, you know? It's like a love sponge, more. I just drink it in. You can go. Bathroom. Oh, sorry. But if you don't believe me, try it. try it on somebody sometime. Hopefully your own mate, your own parent, your own child, your own best friend, same gender. But try it on somebody sometime. And don't try it on other women unless you get their permission, because, you know, once our hair's combed and ready for church, it's not the right time to try it, maybe, like I just did to her. But try it. Try touching somebody's hair and loving them that way. You know, sometimes love is, human love can be so rough, and God can be so gentle. Let somebody try it with you. Let somebody play with your hair like that while they pray that God would love you. But it's not only hair. Love is in the touch. Love is in our hands. Love is in our eyes. Love is in our lips. There's so many ways we can release the love of God to people. Well, the vision that I had of this woman, when he said that this would be, her story would be shared again and again and again, I see Jesus all of a sudden in heaven, and he's calling her, he's saying, come here, come here. And he gets her right up by him, and he says, look, it's happening again. Someone just read your story. And they got so touched by the degree of your love for me, they wanted to go out and give me that gift. They wanted to go out and love someone for me. Because this woman remembered in Matthew 25, see, that's what I was really supposed to be there for. Matthew 25, somewhere around 41 to something else. He says, as much as you've done it to any one of these brethren, you've done it unto me. Remember when he said, you came and visited me in the hospital. You came to me when I was in prison. You fed me when I was hungry. All these things that you did unto me. And the servants that had died and gone to heaven said, when did we do that? He said, when you did it to any one on earth of your brethren, you did it unto me. See, we can't touch Jesus physically except by touching another human. So when he said, if you will go and love them, I receive that love because I'm in them. I'm in them. Oh, grasp that. The breath of God is in us and in cats, in dogs, in birds, in fish. If they breathe, it is God's breath they are breathing. So when you touch with love, because you love God, you touch someone who's alive with that love, he feels it. So he's up in heaven sitting by the woman, and he says, look, it's happening again. He said, look at that woman down there. She just read how you came and poured your love on me, and she got so excited, and she said, oh, Jesus, how can I love you? How can I pour the perfume of my love on you today? And a name came to her mind. There was a sister in church who was in the hospital. And she went out and bought flowers and bought a little card and decided to go visit this sick woman. So she gets to the hospital, and there lays the lady in bed and looking terrible, and her family's gathered around her, and by their face you could tell she's probably going to die. They all parted and let her come close. And she walks up to the bed, and she knows that cards and candy aren't what the lady needs, flowers, and she puts them on the table. And she reaches down and brushes her hair away from her eye. And then she gets the idea, I think I'll just see if I can transmit some love through hair. And she just starts stroking the lady's hair, saying, Jesus, my love's not enough. And he begins pouring his love into the woman. And if you've been there and done that, you know when you let his love flow through you, it comes back washing on you. And she's getting filled with his love, and the woman's getting filled with his love, and there's a love party going on. And up in heaven, Jesus takes me back up to heaven, and he's weeping. And he's not just weeping, he's laughing, weeping, laughing and weeping. You ever been so happy you cry? And he's going, hi, I'm being loved. I'm being filled with love. Just, I'm so overwhelmed with the love that they're pouring on me. And he looks at the woman, and she's weeping. And he says, you did this. This is the gift you gave me one time when you poured your love on me. And now every time somebody reads it and they go pour their love on me, you got part in it. You got part in it. And now this love feast has gone beyond between them in heaven. And Jesus said, you have no idea. What's your story? Who have you loved because you love Jesus? Whereas you do it unto them, you do it unto him. Not because you, maybe you love the person too, but it goes beyond that. You're asking his love to touch them. And they are feeling the love of God, therefore they're loving God. You're doing it because you love God, and God is feeling it in heaven. What is your story? How many people have you loved for God? And every time you're feeding the love of God, you're exciting the heart of God in heaven. You have part in it. When you get there, and he looks back at earth and he sees some of the results. Maybe some woman maybe you loved a little girl and she grew up as a mama and now she's pouring God's love out because you poured it on her. Maybe God's going to call you over and say, look, it's happening again. The results of your love for me, it's happening again. Let's watch another love party start, you know, because her little girl is loving Jesus because you loved her for Jesus. Oh, the joys when we get to heaven and we see the depth and the power of the love of God. It is so amazing. All the times we fail to love, all the times we forget to love, that'll all be washed away, forgotten, and the tears dried up. There's going to be tears of joy because he'll never forget an act of love. So don't sit around moping about what you did wrong, feeling bad. Just give it to him, take your forgiveness, and start loving. But love because of him. Don't love just to love. She didn't do it to get anything. She didn't do it to get anything. Do you see it? It's not just words. It's eternal. It's real. And it's alive. It's love keeps on giving. It is the gift that never stops giving. It really is. Well, there's another woman in Scripture in Mark 12. Let's go there. Who gave God everything she had. Let's hope she's found in Mark 12, okay? Verse 41-43. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. No. Let's start in 41, like I said. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Get that word. How? And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. That is 1/8 of a penny. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasure. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Here's another woman who wanted to give God everything. She didn't do it. You know, why do we give? That's a good question. Why and how do we give? Maybe we give our 10%. Maybe we've even jumped up to 15% or even 20%. I mean, the guy that owned JCPenney's gave 50%. And God prospered his business. But if we give because we want a financial blessing, God will honor that. I mean, he even says it in his word. When you give into the work of God, God is going to give back to you. So you can do that. It's a good investment. You can give because you do love God, and you put in and you give. Maybe you give out of fear because you're scared not to. I don't dare not pay my tithe. The car will break down and the house will catch on fire, you know. See, I've been there too. I've been there. When we were broke, and it's like, can we really give this week, you know? But we don't dare not. But he sat there to watch how people gave. More than what they gave. How they gave. Why they gave. What was the attitude in their giving? Did they love giving to God, or was it just a duty? Was it obedience? Was it a financial investment? Or did they love the work of God? Did they love the body of Christ? Because we don't give to a building. We give to build a body of people. And you know, the church isn't what it used to be. it used to be that the pastor was full-time pastor with no other job. And sometimes the worship leader was full-time worship leader, no other job. My dream is to see even that the intercessors, we could have a room of intercessors who come and give at least 8 hours every day just to pray. And we could pay them for it so they have no other job. That would be so amazing that we had money to give to the poor when they needed it, that we actually had money to send missionaries to other countries so they'd be supported. But the truth today is that people have been fleeced by religion, or people are, they don't have that love for the work of God and the body of Christ. And we can barely, if we support one minister, we can barely do that. And that maybe not too well. We have ministers that work 2 and 3 jobs to pay their bills. And we're talking about pastor, one pastor. Most churches can't go beyond that. Maybe they have a missionary if they have thousands of people. I mean, I wouldn't know about that. Actually, we do. We do support Apostle Steve in Africa. We support him to the tune of about $280 a month. And we also give to Voice of the Martyrs, and we give to something else called CI4. Somebody out there knows what it is because you designated it to Feed the Hungry. We do give to missions. And for a tiny little body like this, that's pretty amazing. So, you know, I'm not rebuking anybody in this room, really. I think we're great givers here. We really are. But still, the church, the attitude. And Jesus was looking at attitude. Why are you putting the money in? Are you praying for that money to go out and bless God? Are you praying for the workers and the ministers of that, you know, that they have the wisdom to see what God wants to do with that money? And, you know, you go to churches and you hear people argue about whether their money bought a blue carpet or a red carpet. Well, I'm not going there again. If they buy blue, I don't like blue. Well, you're going to support the wrong missionary. I like this missionary. Or why are you giving money to those people over there? I don't believe in them. And they want to fight and argue. But Jesus is looking for how we give, not just money, all of our life. All of our life, not just our money. Both of these women gave something that was expensive. Monetarily, it cost them. But it wasn't about that for them, because they'd already given up their right to care about that. What they gave was a gift of love. So what motivates us? What's the gas that runs this old car, you know? Is it the love of Christ? That he might be magnified in our body? I must have skipped a scripture, because that's supposed to be about that scripture. I did. Here it is. Philippians 1:21. Paul said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm just here on a mission. It doesn't matter what I have or don't have here. It doesn't really matter what he wants me to do here. I'm here on a mission. I can't go crawling a hole because my feelings are hurt and people don't appreciate me. I'm not here for their applaud. I'm here. I want to make Jesus cry. I want to make him weep while he's laughing about how much love is being poured on him. I want to make my Savior cry because he's so loved by me. And then Paul said, even before that, he said, all my expectation and hope is that Christ would be magnified in my body. All my expectation, all the hope of my life, I gave it all to Christ. I only hope that he gets magnified through me. I hope that he gets seen through me. That's the glory in John 17 that Jesus said he wanted to give us. He said, you've given me your glory, Father, your presence living in me, the way to show who you are to this world. I give that glory to my people. Go show them Jesus. He's in you. Let him live. Paul also said in Colossians 3:23-24, you better go there and make sure it's right. He said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You have an inheritance. You know what I want to inherit? I want to inherit being pulled aside like that woman saying, look, results of your love. Look, results of when you let me live. Look, results of when you let me give. I want to be by Jesus when he's weeping over the love gifts he's receiving. You know, agape love means love feast. Love feast. Dining and eating and devouring love. God's a love glutton. And our love can touch his heart. You know, one time God came to Abraham in a dream, and it said it was a very dark dream, and it was scary. And God came and said, "Fear not, I am your shield." You know, we get through life because he's our shield. He's our protector. But the second part, he said, "And your exceeding great reward." Genesis 15:1, second part of it. "I am your exceeding great reward." He himself, not the things he's going to give us. They're all there. All the treasures laid up in heaven are there. All the beautiful things, the mansion and all of it, it's all there. But he himself is the reward. His presence, his love. Come into the love feast with God. He's our portion. And you know, we've been reading about God as my portion and saying, I want a bigger portion. I want more of God. And what God is saying is, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want all of you. I want all. I want everything you are, everything you do, everything you have. I want all of you. We say we want more of him. But first, he's got to get more of us. It's kind of like, well, whenever God gives me more of him, then I want more of him. Then I want more of him. Then I want to give him more of me. When I give him more of me, he gives me more of him. It's just that love thing again. It's like that snowball effect. It grows. And it's contagious. So let's make God cry laugh with a love feast by loving one another with his love. And you know, the harder it is, like when you go out and somebody rejects you, they're mean to you, they don't deserve it, and you love them anyway, that touches his heart even more. That gets to the depth of him. Loving those that don't deserve it really blesses him.